to do. What I'm going to talk about in this last one, we actually have a small... I have some concern. I share your concern about PDPS, the notion of home testing being used as part of as part of EPD. But, you know, if you think about the main goal of EPS, Expedited Partner Services, is to basically expedite how rapidly somebody gets treated, to outsource to our patients crap that we would be doing in our office. Then what else can we do? Well, screening is one thing. Counseling, other stuff. The question is, what do we do? It's not being done much, but what can we do? One of my concerns has to do with how the offer's made. You suggested that, you know, we really, really wanted to do BDPT. That's the bottom line. And there's some stuff that we muddy along the way, because some of the messaging in some jurisdictions is, well, we really prefer you come into the doctor first, and, okay, don't do that, take this medicine, which is just, in my opinion, a piss-poor way to approach it, because while it is very important that I get you, your partner to come in some cases, the most important thing is get her treated. So that's a bit of a problem. So when we start talking about adding PDPS into the mix, it solves a problem, as Kim mentioned, a potential problem, and that is simply there are people out there who will not accept PDPT. And they do it for one of two basic reasons. One, it's not something that should be done. It's a non-professional, I should be going to a doctor. It's this kind of perception of the healthcare system reason to do that. The other is, fuck it. Those are the two reasons. I don't want to do it because the bastard did it to me and I don't care. Or, you know, it's not a legitimate concern. That legitimacy thing is the one that PDPS can help with. But what we want to look at, and what I looked at in a study, I'm only going to look at a small part of this of a recent data set that we gathered, and I'm only going to talk about it at a superficial level. We have done a bunch of MRC and log MRC and some other stuff with it to see this thing's parcel out. I want to tell a little story of what happens when you make different kinds of offers along the way. Okay, so first, as we just said, we can broaden it out. We can talk about partner notification, screening, treatment, all these other parts of EPS. And what I'm wanting to do a little bit about today is talk about what's not well established, and that's the effect of offering more than one of these services to a patient and how we offer them. Again, this is hypothetical because nobody's really doing PDPS/home testing, here's a kit kind of an offer in an environment. And what I did with mine, unlike Kim, who was working specifically in a clinic environment, we did survey research, approach intercept type research, and we did so with target values of about 50% clinic personnel, people who have previously gone to a visit was one of our recruitment criteria, and about 50% who hadn't. So we could get a little bit of a taste of Joe Public and also the person, and by the way, I did ask about STDs, but I'm not going to talk about that in this today. What we wanted to look at was sequential offers. What happens if I first give, say, you, hey, you've got an STD. Would you like some medication to take care of that? And you say, sure. Sure, all right, I'm done with you. But I offer it to you, what do you say?
No.
No, okay, well, how about I give you a screening kit instead?
Okay.
You can do that? Okay, cool, I'm glad. So we'll get you the screening kit and we'll take it home. So I was interested in that sort of a sequential offer, and we can also offer a sequential offer with a kicker. That is, at the front end, I can say, and by the way, it's really important that your partner come in and see me, but it's really important to get treated. Now what we're doing. The other offer is the simultaneous offer, and this is not uncommon. It's where we say, you know, sucks to be you. I feel for your situation. Here's a list of things you can do. You know, we need to deal with your patient, and I have some preferences, but the list of things you can do are what Kim mentioned. We can give you some medicine. We can give you a screening kit. I can do both. I can have you just have your partner, BYOB, bring your partner back in. I can have somebody notify them. Or you can do nothing. That would, by the way, be screw the bastard. So we looked at that, and then with a little time, I want to talk about some general service delivery beliefs and barriers that we ran across, and some things that you'll go, that's interesting, about their sexual health variables and some behaviors towards the end. 12, we recruited from 12 different, these are all metropolitan areas, so I don't know anything about rural people right now but in terms of this. 501 people, so okay size. Mean age of 24. 25, 50%, that was a criteria. Pretty diverse in terms of, these were actually 25%, 25% were recruitment type criteria. In our other analyses, they're weighted. So that's why they're that high. We were actively seeking representation. Age, a little bit across the board, but mostly in the 18 to 44. No adolescents, I apologize. we haven't looked at any of that, although adolescents are near and dear to my heart. Reasonable self-reports of income. And again, there's the user, non-user, previous user, non-user of public health income. So when I first offer PDPT, hey, would you take this? This didn't vary much by whether or not you were a public health, a previous public health experience or not. 75% sure. 75% of the people would be extremely likely, not just even somewhat likely, but extremely likely to just say, yeah, I'd take it to my partner. That's pretty good. Leaves us with a chunk of folks to work with. And again, this is that group where we've got some who said, because I asked why, we have some, why did you choose not to do this? And they said, again, screw them. Wasn't legitimate. Those two things. By the way, I asked a follow-up question because I know it's done differently in different jurisdictions. Which would you prefer, extra medication or an extra prescription? Or it doesn't matter. Extra medication. They want the medication. They don't want to either have to fill it themselves. We didn't, because of the way that we asked, they actually felt, well, that might entail me filling it, going and getting it filled. So there's a little bit of confusion there. But they felt that, you know, I want the medication, not the prescription. It's quicker. This doesn't matter is actually two different groups. When we looked at it, it's some of these folks, doesn't matter because I'm not doing it. But it's also the true doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I'm going to take them whatever, and I'm going to take care of it. It'll be okay. So then we offered. So this was out of the full sample. Then just the folks that we that said no, that basically said, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, somewhat unlikely or extremely unlikely. What would you do now? We give you a screening kit. Well, now we pick up of that group, of the 90 that remained. These are of just that. These are percentages of just that group. 38%, yeah, I'm extremely. Your response right there. Oh, yeah, I'll take a screening kit tonight. And that's principally, this is folks who said the legitimacy thing, as of this. Coupled together, and these, of course, are the other folks. Now, coupled together, that means sequentially offering that. From an initial offer, we have people who said they were either somewhat likely or extremely likely of 82.8 out of 10. 4 out of 5 people said, I'd take drugs. I get the other one-tenth. I'm down to a piddly little one-tenth that won't take something. And we didn't make any other offers at that point, nor did we ask what they would what they'd be willing to do or anything else, because we actually jumped into a different question. Okay, so what if we just offered you a bunch of stuff at once? And one of the things I want to know is whether or not people would take something, people who would otherwise take PDPT. By the way, remember that 75% said extremely likely would take PDPT. I want to know whether or not we lose any of those people if we just didn't pick one. First thing, the big one is they want everything. That shouldn't surprise you, but it's not cost effective. You know, if you're given an offer of any of the things that we have there, I want to have both the kit and the script. And then the rest of the stuff. This one is neither, but tell the partner to come in. That's the BYOP option. Partner notification, nobody really wanted, not many people wanted to do that. And do nothing, again, was actually a little bit more than none. These are the folks who are pissed, by the way. I shouldn't say that because that's overstating it. Some of them were stigmatized. I wouldn't know what to do kind of a response as well. So when you offer it all, what you get is, an overall rate of 85% when you offer it, of choosing some variation on that, but we don't exactly know who's going to end up doing this, who's going to do this from here, and we're really muddying the picture when I have to take a kit and a what am I going to tell them? You know, a lot of them said, I take both, and they have a nice story behind them what they plan to do, but you could tell there was either confusion about what the screening kit might do, or that, you know, it's just fun. But so we still have a fair number, but a statistically significant fewer number choosing one or the other, doing it this way. I added a kicker, and this is interesting. This is what I was talking about when I said What if the doctor told you that quickly seeing the doctor, this is the message that is in a lot of the things, quickly seeing the doctor in order for you both to be treated and tested is the best choice. But taking prescription medicine to your partner will get your partner treated quicker. That's the most common message. What happens to uptake? Well, first, the overall, this was not statistically significant. It goes down just a little bit, percentage-wise, of folks choosing these three things. What we do have, though, is with the kicker, fewer people choose the screening kit, much more, double, choose to take just the prescription, because I've now told them. Even when we tell them, pick from this list, and then, of course, fewer, that's where they're coming from, are choosing the combined thing because we're managed to shove some people back into PDPT. No, it's still not combined. This number is still not nearly the 74% we got from the first offer. And then finally, we also managed to shove some people by saying that first part of that message, the part I was complaining about a second ago, we managed to shove some people back into, and I don't remember if 13 versus 10 in this sample size was significant, I think. But we managed to, at least in the numbers, shove a few people back into the, I'll bring my partner back in, I don't want to mess with this kind of thing. Really depends, again, on what we're trying to accomplish by the offer. But so, looking at them side by side, simultaneous versus sequential, we get, if you do, as you can tell from what I've already said, if you offer it sequentially, would you take the drugs? Sure. You get a huge number, double the number of who are going to take your treatment only. And then you also pick up, clearly, the screening kit folks along the way. So there's really no good reason to offer somebody all at once. It's really kind of, and although it's more efficient to do so, I can say, I've got you right here, what's up? It's going to take longer for a provider to walk somebody through a series of steps. But if you walk them through the steps, you're going to get far more uptake on the thing that really matters, on PDPT. So, and since not a lot of folks are doing this, it's just a way of saying, we shouldn't say, you can have a kid, or you could have a screen. There's lots of options available to you. Which would you like? How would you like this? Say it that way in any way, you're going to open up their options, and we're going to have less people taking the key thing to PDPT.
All right, so I get a couple of little things. I'm not that enamored with whether or not we even need to talk about it today, but it just for those of you who have not, this is consistent with PDPT and a few other things. For those of you who have not dealt with this at all, those of you who have, no big deal. When asked about whether or not their primary partner would want them to bring them anything,
we'd asked about treatment before, and we'd asked about screening kits separately, but just anything, huge numbers on scale 1 to 5. Yeah, absolutely, my primary partner would want me to bring. Casual partner is still above midpoint, but not by much. That's not surprising given what we have. Norm for the healthcare provider, that's a little odd. You would think that the norm for the, I haven't looked at there's some qualitative data supporting this, so I need to look at it. I don't actually know why you wouldn't have fives across the board with your healthcare provider. Although I expect that if I looked at it correlationally, I'd find that some of the lower numbers that are pulling that down to 4.1 are those people who don't think that it's legitimate. Because if I don't think it's a legitimate healthcare practice, I may be imposing that view on what I think the healthcare thinking. So that's another kind of barrier we'd have to get over. In terms of being able to do it, these are all big numbers. They're not too concerned that they're going to be able to take whatever they need to take to a partner. Their big concerns typically tend to be how to explain. Actually, I think I have some slides with a little bit of
how to explain. I mean the biggest thing facilitation wise is relationship.
There's all sorts of words we can use for it, but it boils down to, do I have an established relationship? How much trust is in that relationship?
If I don't have an established relationship, is my relationship clearly established as casual? That's important. If it's not clear that the relationship is casual for both parties, then it's a problem. But if they're in a relationship where everybody considers it a casual relationship, not a problem. I can take it to them because that's our relationship. So it's the clarity of the relationship and the closeness of the relationship really boils down to the facilitators. And then some of the biggest barrier is embarrassment. Crap, it's an STD. It's that the whole stigmatized thing that we deal with. That implied fault thing that I mentioned, you know, he'll think that I did it. She'll think that I brought it in. Those types of things. He'll beat my ass and leave me, which this actually does concern me. But again, in the many studies we've done, this is one of the few times we've seen concerns of, it has happened before, and you had one in something where we did some qualitative and they were talking about, you know, fear of taking it to them, some fear issues.
Yeah, it was one participant in a qualitative study of patient-delivered partner therapy, so med mainly.
So it shouldn't be off the radar that it's possible that taking something to a partner may lead to partner violence. It shouldn't be off the radar because it's shown up, but it's not something we've seen a lot of so far. So the things I wanted you to think about. One thing I wanted you to think about. Who should they tell? This is a no-brainer. Most of you probably know this. I want to tell them. You know, who should tell your partner? Me. I don't want. And if not me, the doctor, health department. None of the social workers. None of that kind of stuff. And then some other things. But this is the one. Would you have sex again? So what the question is: if you know your partner didn't take the treatment, would you have sex with him again? 7% said yes. And there's 30% who were, probably, maybe.
Okay. Sex with condoms.
We didn't actually have it. We just said sex, and I didn't ask. I probably should have. But I was more interested just generally. You know, you've been told, the whole way we set it up, you've been told that your partner's probably infected, and you've been cured, then they can be cured. Now I'm asking you, you know, if you know for sure they didn't take it, what would you do? Now, the it depends, actually, the reason, because I have, for anyone of these questions, I always ask, why? And so I have information, the data that basically says, some of them say, well, it depends on whether or not I'm using condom or how established the relationship and all of that is.
We asked that also in the qualitative study, and when people did say yes, they would have sex again, they would say only if it's protected, only with a condom.
Yeah, so there's some of that as well. But still, this is kind of crazy. I personally think this is kind of crazy and is an educational opportunity. We always tell them when we hand them the, well, usually we tell them when we hand them the PPT, don't have sex until you and your partner have been checked, and sometimes we say the 7-day rule, it depends on the jurisdiction, but you know, 30%, that's high. Just something to think about if you happen to be treating somebody. All right, so with sequential offers, participants who refused the first offer frequently accepted the second. I mean, we got 9 out of 10 people choosing some sort of thing when we did it. When presented simultaneously, again, the majority of them selected both of the things together, which is not terribly cost efficient. For sequential offers, those accepting the first offer significantly exceeded those selecting only PDP in the simultaneous condition. That is, we're getting them to take the right thing by doing the sequential offers. Offering PDPS home screening in conjunction with or as an alternative to PDPT facilitates expedited care among those who initially do not accept PDPT. That's the key thing, as was mentioned by the gentleman in the back. We're not interested in adding home screening to something that anybody else would do, meaning a choice factor between one or the other. It's an alternative for a tiny group of people, those people who basically say it's not legitimate and we want to hand it to it. So that's really where that comes from. And again, that's a definition of what we're talking about. Sequential offers are likely more effective, my overall stance on this so far, because it leads to a higher overall PDP uptake. It's higher acceptance of some single form of EPS, so a single thing, so it's more cost effective. It may be slightly less efficient for docs and require some training for staff to be able to sort of step through. We can also, if we wanted to, I put a very limited kicker in there that actually, you know, like a version of getting them to adopt it by saying, you know, it's best that you get treated quickly, but if you come in kind of a thing, we could craft that protocol to really get, I bet I could hit very close to 100%. And then suggest inclusion in EPS toolkit. It may be valuable, again, as was mentioned by a few people out there, out in the audience in Kim's work, pragmatics are a huge problem with the screening thing. So it's really, might it be valuable down the road? Sure, for this very limited group of people. Otherwise, you know, if we can get them to take the drugs and get the partners treated, we're much better off. And I'm not too worried about this. Same thing, what I just said. Most of the funding comes through a grant from CDC. There's the contact information again, if you have any questions on that one. Yeah, go ahead. You didn't have that, but although they did want to make sure they could drop it off in certain places and it couldn't be tampered with and that it wouldn't be tested for drugs.
And some people did say, you know, something like, well, I wouldn't want my partner to see it in the mail, so I would have to then go find a place to drop it off for privacy. So there were some issues kind of around the idea of it needs to be private. And the return materials obviously shouldn't say, like, the kit on it when you're mailing it back. STD kit, you know, or the company name shouldn't be like, you know, STD testing company kind of thing. So, yeah, there were certainly some issues around privacy and confidentiality.
And your first question, I actually don't know. There are a lot of jurisdictions where we do home testing.